they still even relevant? I mean, in this day and age, people are simply just going to home affairs, signing their lives away, divorcing the next morning. Life is a mess, if you can ask me. 34 minutes after 9 o'clock, we are still in the middle of our top stories that are hugging the headlines in and around the world, and we're about to get into it. We're speaking all things gender-based violence, and on the line, we're joined by Utsepo Sefatlaelo, who is from Gender Based Violence Response Fund, and who has experienced lie in media relations, crisis communication, and reputation management as well. Your thoughts and your views on 011-717-9881.
The station with purpose. Vow FM 88.1. Let's take a deep dive with Area Code.
Well, a warm welcome to you, Tsepo, and thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're speaking all things gender-based violence, and we're trying to find out in particular from you, what is Gender-Based Violence Fund all about?
Hi, Priti, and thanks for the opportunity. So the Gender-Based Violence and Response Fund is a non-profit company that was launched by the president of the country on the 4th of February in 2021, right? Now, the reason that it was formed, in 2018, there was a national shutdown by civil society that works in fighting gender-based violence because of the many reports and all over the media of very gruesome stories of femicide and gender-based violence. And their demand was something needed to be done at the highest level. So they marched to the Johannesburg Stock Exchange and to the union buildings. Then in 2018, the president had hosted a presidential summit on gender-based violence. Now, from that summit, a document was written, which is a strategy, and it's called the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence. And that document basically says, if you need to end gender-based violence in South Africa, these are the six pillars that you need to address. So you need to implement programs that speak to these pillars. Now, a council, a government council was meant to be formed so that it can implement this. Fast forward to 2020, we then had the COVID pandemic, but the council had not been formed. So then it was decided that an interim organization will be formed while the council is formed. That's when was the fund was formed. So currently, that's what the fund is doing. It's implementing the recommendations of the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence. So what we do is we raise funds from the private sector and international philanthropic organizations. Those funds, we channel them through to community-based organizations that fight gender-based violence programs based on these pillars. And yeah, and that's what we do. And then we also play a leading convening role in terms of getting the best minds, the best civil society, whether it be from faith-based, private sector, public sector, to come around the table and coordinate efforts to fight gender-based violence.
Now, let's also speak about what ways the program actually ensures justice, you know, justice is served. Institutions of higher learning when cases of gender-based violence and sexual abuse are reported.
Yeah, so you remember I said that the fund in itself, we are not implementers, right? What we do is we raise funds. We go to community-based organizations that do the programs. So currently, because the fund was only formed last year, what we did as an organization, we looked at the six pillars, and then we identified that of the six pillars, there's two that needed immediate attention. Now, the pillar two speaks to prevention and recreation of social cohesion, and then pillar three speaks to justice in terms of, you know, speeding up cases, for example, making sure that there's DNA programs, but also making sure that the victims and the survivors get justice. So we then went out for requests for proposals, and we chose 108 community-based organizations and four intermediaries across 9 provinces in the country, mostly based in rural areas, South Africa, in informal settlements, but also in urban areas. And we said, these are for your programs. We will fund you 69 million over 2 periods. Please carry on with your programs. And please scale them up. Now, what we've also seen is that in institutions of higher learning, the issues and challenges of gender-based violence, they have not been spared. And that's really a reflection of broader society in South Africa, where we know we've got unacceptably high levels of gender-based violence and femicide. Now, one of the fundamental challenges in terms of why we don't have an arrest on the scourge is the issue of DNA testing, right? Mm-hmm. Because we know that there's a significant backlog from the police side. So what we've been doing is we've commissioned a research and study with the University of KwaZulu-Natal, where they are looking at a DNA extractor. So once we've got that research and the data, we will then purchase that DNA extractor and we'll donate it to the police. And that will hopefully assist significantly in clawing back the backlog when it comes to DNA testing, which often is an issue of why victims and survivors cannot realize justice for themselves.
Look, we speak about the funds that are accessible to the victims and assisting them in many ways when it comes to, the monetary value of everything. Do you think that maybe the creation of more economic opportunities as well, especially for women who are vulnerable and are vulnerable to abuse because of poverty, can end the high rates of gender-based violence in the country?
No, absolutely. Actually, issues of lack of earning capacity from the women's side perspective, mm-hmm. from victims, is one of the pillars that we actually is in the strategic that is in the NSP, right? But at the moment, we are hoping from early next year, we'll come out with the request for proposals, and then we'll go in partnerships with financial institutions that are going to assist us in creating, number one, financial literacy for women, but also giving them opportunities to have an earning capacity. But also what we'll be doing as well in attacking that is also tackling the issue of pay parity between males and females, whether be it in corporate or in the public sector. Now, one of the things that some of our community-based organizations do when it talks to Pillar 3 is we've got, for example, a CEO that is called Lawyers Against Abuse, right? So often what will happen is your abuser will say to you, "No, but you can't leave me because I pay for the house, I pay for this and pay for that." What they actually do is they lodge an appeal for you, an application for you, where they get you spousal support and child support for your children. So then your abuser does not have to hold the matter that they are the breadwinner, hold it over your head. So you can actually leave that environment, exit that relationship, but then they make sure that your abuser, who is the breadwinner, is still held accountable with spousal support and child support. So those are just one of the things that we are seeing and that we are assisting and supporting through our community-based organization. But 100%, that is one of the key reasons that why people stay in abuse relationships, is the issue of earning potential.
Now, Tsepo, here I am. I'm a victim. How do I go about in getting these funds or getting assistance through these funds? You have mentioned the different NGOs that are also injected with the cash in order to assist the people that come through. On a typical process, I am the victim and I'm heading over to the NGO. How does it all play out?
So you remember I mentioned that we've got community-based organizations across the country. There's only 108 at the moment. So we've got several that are in Gauteng. We've got several across other provinces. What you would need to do is you would make contact with that community-based organization or any other really organization that's fighting gender-based violence on the ground. It could be a number of reasons. You could be looking for wellness, mental wellness support. It could be an issue of, you know, you've been displaced. So you need accommodation. There's that aspect of shelter. There's issues of legal aid that you require. Perhaps you want to get a restraint order against your abuser. There's also those opportunities as well. So it really depends, because there are a number of services that survivors of gender-based violence require. It's not just only the justice that needs to be served, but it's also the support. Right, whether it be financial, whether it be mental, but also would it be with legal services that is required. So it's really about what area are you in, where are you situated, and then we are able to point you to the best possible. What I'd be happy to do is to really send you a link of that lists all the community-based organizations that we are working with across the country, and you'd be able to contact them from that link. It will have all the contact details.
Tsepo, thank you so much for your time this morning. It's been insightful chatting to you.
Thanks, Bridget. Take care.
And that was Tshepo Sefotlela from the Gender Based Violence Response Fund, who experienced lies in media relations, crisis communication, and reputation management as well, speaking and highlighting that the biggest instigator of our gender based violence is the fact that a lot of women are unemployed, therefore holding on to that little bit of income that comes from their partners, that comes from wherever it is that they are most likely to get it from. 011717 9881. Maybe you